Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you that we have had the privilege of having you listen to us and join in the daily dialogue and discussion so many times on Let's Face the Issues. May I simply take this moment to invite you to worship with us this Sunday. Bible study is at 9:30. Sunday morning in worship is at 10:45, Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. We've met you on there. We'd love to meet you in the pew. So we open this invitation to you to worship with us this Sunday. First Conservative Baptist Church is located just 1 mile south of I-295 on Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin, located approximately 3 1/4 miles north of I-95, right here on the Old St. Augustine Road at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. Looking forward to having you join with us. Even this Sunday, it's our delight, as we have been in the past several weeks, doing a mini-series on prophecy. Perhaps you would be delighted to be a part of that mini-series process. We'll be looking at the Mark of the Beast this Sunday morning at 10:45, dealing with the Revelation chapter 13 text with the 666. Most everybody's interested in what does that 666 mean, how does it affect us, and what will happen, who will be involved in that. All of that will be discussed from the pulpit, verse-by-verse study on Sunday morning. Looking forward to having you join us. Let me remind you also, before I forget it, that if you want to join in this dialogue and discussion today, we'd be delighted to have you to do so. You can do that by dialing 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Get you right through to the studios, right to our microphones, that we might have this discussion together. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. A lot of folks will face issues. We talk about issues. Some call them problems, difficulties, situations in life. I prefer to simply call them issues. As we face the issues, the question is, how do we handle them? Do we look at it from the Word of God? What does the Scripture say? Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus made a powerful statement, in his statement making the value of the Word of God so high. He said, "Thy word is truth," an indelible statement in relationship to the truth of the Word of God. Truth is generally not sought after, not looked for in society in which we're living today. Multitudes would rather have their own facts than look at the truth facing an issue. A good example of that is what's happening to the young man Mollett in Chicago. His truth happened not to be the real truth. And so there are a lot of the leftists today that are having to backpedal down some of the things they said when Mollett came out with his deception, with his promulgated lie, and they then jumped on the bandwagon and called it truth. But when we face truth, we need to face it based on an authoritative source. And the source book for our truth is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. No other source for truth, no other foundation for our life and living but the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, we have multitudes of people today that are searching for answers, searching for direction, searching to find insight for life and living. And may I remind us today, ladies and gentlemen, most people, when they face difficulties, when they're looking for answers, searching for truth, they will go to all places of counseling and counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists, trying to find an answer to solve the problems. But ladies and gentlemen, whether it's politically or socially or spiritually, our nation is in need for answers, solutions to the quagmire in life, the quagmire in the world in which we're living. And today, in a moment, we'll get to it. We'll be discussing today, ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful word. We're talking about the Word of God. Or if you want to place it another way, the power of the Bible, the power of the Word of God. But, ladies and gentlemen, God told Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9 in particular, the unit of thought is verses 1 through 9, but God told Joshua to stay in the Word. I'm going to paraphrase for you for the benefit of time. God told Joshua to stay in the Word. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, but just cut it straight, go right through the middle, looking at the Word of God. Stay right in the Word. And God promised Joshua that if he would stay in the Word, not turn to the left, not turn to the right, but stay in the Word, that he would provide for him success for his journey and would provide success for what he'd called him to do. I just simply have a little word for that. Wow. I don't think that we could ask for a better answer, search for a better solution to be able to have a successful journey in what God's called us to do than to stay in the Word, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It would seem today, ladies and gentlemen, that we could listen to what God told Joshua and learn a powerful lesson from the Word of God about how to conduct our lives. We live in an era today, ladies and gentlemen, where so many voices are challenging the truth. So many voices are challenging. Listen, when I say truth, I'm talking about challenging the Word of God, challenging the fundamentals of what the Scripture says. We have folks today standing in pulpits and those that are in the Pope's position that are challenging what the Scripture says. I could go through a whole litany of these recent latter-day challenges to the Word of God, but simply suffice it to say, I'll just talk about a couple of them to get into the point of where we're going. We're looking at the wonderful Word of God. We're living in an era where the truth is being challenged, where the Word of God is being challenged. And some are actually saying that hell is not real. And yet the Bible concludes that it is a very real place. Some are saying that we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament. Yet we find some of the voices that are loud and clear and nationally being heard says that the Ten Commandments are not relevant to the Christian today or to the Christian church. I find it, ladies and gentlemen, a quagmire of problems in our world as a result of basically jettisoning off the Bible and rejecting the Word of God, refusing to hear the Word. Some will dilute the Word. Some will deny the Word. Some try to destroy the Word. And here's a good illustration of that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me read you a brief summary from this article. Title of the article, listen, are you hearing me right? So don't fall out of your chair or wreck the car thinking that somehow, some way, there's a misstatement. Here's an article that says, the first annual Christians Witches Convention will teach that Jesus was a sorcerer who performed alchemy and the Bible is really a book of magic. The article further says, the first annual convention, Christian Convention of Witches, is set to be hosted in Salem, Massachusetts this April, and will feature internationally recognized, well, I've never heard of him, supposedly he's internationally recognized, Prophet Calvin Witcher, that's right, W-I-T-C-H-E-R, who agrees with the convention's host that Jesus Christ was a sorcerer and the Bible is really a book of magic. Well, I don't want to read the whole article to you, but I do want to read you enough for you to get a handle on what these left-wing, in the Christian sense, the left-wing lost folks are saying, but yet calling themselves Christians. This article further says, bad news for Christian witches in the witches' society is that the Bible condemns witchcraft in all of its forms. Further, this article says, the further lunacy of saying that the Holy Bible is really a book of magic or Jesus was a sorcerer and an alchemist is proof that these people know nothing of God or God's Word and what God says about magic in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is Bible and Theology Professor with Conservative Theological University. And let me just interject this for this moment. Let him come on the mic and tell us, Dr. Phelps, you've heard what I said about this statement, and I'll read something further in a minute, but just very quickly, going to you, what does the Bible say about witchcraft, and especially these that claim they're Christian witches?
In the Word of God, we find both the Old and the New Testament, God forbids such activity on the part of His people. God says He wants us to be perfect with Him. But when God was about to lead the people of Israel into the promised land, God told them this: when you come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. Those nations meant the Canaanites and surrounding areas in what we call Palestine today. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, there shall not be found among you any one that uses divination or an observer of times, an enchanter or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. Why? Verse 12 says, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God shall drive them out from before you. Well, what he's saying there is, that's one of the reasons why God drove out the Canaanites in the promised land and gave it to the people of Israel.
Practicing witchcraft, and God says no, and yet supposedly now in 21st century America, we have those that claim that they are Christian witches. I don't know of anything that could be a greater oxymoron. But in this article, it further says here that on this supposed prophet's website, he says that, quote, he brings God's messages to humanity through powerful teachings and trainings, allowing non-traditional followers to hear the divine voice of hope. And he said the Bible is a huge book of sorcery. In fact, he goes on to say, you're talking about the whole of Jesus' adult ministry is all magic, all sorcery. Even if we just say Jesus, every particular miracle that Jesus does defies human law. It defies the laws of the universe and the world. So you can really talk about being a Jesus follower without doing what he did, and that's magic. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, anything that's anymore. I laugh at it, but I laugh because it is sad. It is absolutely affront to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Dr. Phelps, we're delighted to have you with us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to what God is going to say in these moments as we take these moments to talk about the wonderful word of God. But before we get into that particular part of our study today and thoughts, what do you think has caused America to be in the position and condition we're in today, where you find so many that's jettisoning off the truth and denying the truth and wanting to come unhitched from the Old Testament, and now these so-called Christian witches that say that Jesus was a witchcrafter, he was a sorcerer, and everything he did was by magic? How do we respond to that to the general public? Perhaps our audience is listening today, and they're listening with awe of what they have just heard. How should we respond to that kind of stuff in America?
Well, we should say that the Word of God is truth. We have a book of truth that God has given us, and we should not put it aside or turn away from the truth of the Word of God. That's the source of truth that God has given us. It is the testimony of God that he has given to us so that we may come to know him. I read in Psalm 119, verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The psalmist was speaking well of the Word of God. It is so important. And I'd like to address that for just a minute or two.
All right.
The Bible tells us that of God that his name is wonderful in Isaiah 9:6. Also, his works are wonderful in Psalm 40, verse 5. But this is talking about his testimonies. What we mean by testimonies are the words that God's given us in the Bible. His testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. That is, focus on them, meditate upon them, retain them in my heart so that I can observe them. The book we call the Bible is the foundation of our faith.
Amen.
The first part of the Bible is what we may refer to as the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament. The second part of the Bible is what we identify as the New Testament. Now, The word testament actually refers to a covenant. In God's dealings with his earthly people Israel, God often made promises to them in the form of covenants. The covenants are the spoken or the written words of agreement of what God promised to perform for his people. We read of God's covenant with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, with David in the scriptures. Any mention of the law is a reference to God's old covenant or testament with Moses. And the mention of grace is the reference to the new covenant or testament. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The Old Testament, or the covenant, was given by Moses. But the new covenant, or testament, was given by Jesus Christ. So when we refer to the Old Testament, or covenant, we should recognize only one specific covenant, the law of Moses, not the entirety of the Jewish scriptures. The first part of our Bible contains more than the law of Moses. Jesus tells us about that in Luke 24, verse 44, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So in the first part of our Bible, we have the law. We also have prophets and Psalms. Now, where in the Bible do we find the first mention of the New Covenant? In the book of Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. In Jeremiah 31, the New Covenant is God's promise to Israel that he will regather the people of Israel to the promised land. A remnant of the nation of Israel will be saved and return to their land in peace. At a time in the future, Christ will return, and the nation of Israel will experience mercy, forgiveness, and restoration when they repent and receive the Messiah. These blessings will be bestowed upon the nation of Israel by the Lord Jesus Christ at his return to claim the throne of David. Now, because the New Testament or covenant was activated when Jesus shed his own precious blood at the cross to obtain eternal redemption for us, the blessings and benefits are received by anyone who believes in Christ today. So we're already experiencing the blessings of the new covenant, we who believe in Christ today.
Yes. In fact, Dr. Phelps, if I could interrupt for a moment your train of thought, I find it so disconcerting and disingenuous when some of the preachers today, some of the so-called theologians today, will say that the Old Testament is not valid, but yet Jesus quoted from the Old Testament dozens and dozens of times. In fact, anytime the New Testament says with Jesus or others speaking, it is written, it refers to what?
The Old Testament.
The Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And Jesus, in fact, said to his disciples that the Old Testament, all of the writings of the Old Testament, points to himself. In fact, he said that in John 1:45 and John 5:39, John 45:46 and 47, Luke 24, verse 27, over and over and over again. And the point that I interject is, it is so discouraging and disingenuous for so many today to jump on the modern contemporary bandwagon that basically challenges, chides, questions, and dilutes the written, revealed Word of God that in totality, all of the Scripture. So the Old Testament gives us a foundation for the New Testament, and without the Old Testament, we have a shamble of a New Testament. It's the same God for the Old Testament as for the New Testament. The Old Testament announced the good news of the virgin birth, the life, the teaching, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Dr. Phelps, continue with sharing with our audience today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. Dr. Neil Phelps, Bible professor and theology professor in Conservative Theological University, is our special guest today. And we're talking about the wonderful Word, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And we're talking about the power of the Bible, the wonderful Word. Dr. Phelps, if you would continue to share with our listeners today what we're talking about with the value of the Old Testament and what the Bible has for us as looking at it as a unified whole and not just dissecting it and jettisoning off part of it.
Jesus mentioned the importance of the Jewish scriptures in relation to faith in John 5:38-39. There he said to some who rejected his words, "And you have not his word abiding in you, for he whom God hath sent, him you believe not." He was speaking of himself. Then he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Now that means that we're instructed to search the scriptures to learn more of the testimony of God in all of the Bible concerning the Savior. The importance of that is in the matter of biblical faith.
Yes.
Biblical faith is based on or founded on the inspired Christ-revealing scriptures. And Jesus was talking about the first part of our Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, the Jewish scriptures. According to the book of Acts in the New Testament, Paul preached to a Jewish audience in the synagogue, and we're told in Acts 17:11, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Now, which scriptures did they search? The Old Testament, Jewish scriptures.
Right.
The reason they searched the scriptures is very clear. They made sure that the preaching of Paul was true. Paul's preaching was that kind that caused many people to believe.
And yet he did not have a King James leather-bound Scofield reference Bible, did he?
No.
He had the Old Testament scriptures.
So the God-given truth of the Old Testament is very important in relation to believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. The Old Testament scriptures, as found in the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, are vital to our faith. For by these scriptures, anyone is able to recognize the Messiah. The Old Testament is a source of truth about the birth of Christ. It was miraculous. Isaiah 7:14.
We've got a caller, I believe. We go ahead and get a question or a comment, please.
Yeah, very fascinating. I'm just catching the tail end of the conversation. And, of course, the early Jewish believers only had the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings, the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. The New Covenant was being formulated, and there were some disputed books in the New Covenant up until, I believe, the 2nd or 3rd century, 6 or 7. So the canon of Scripture for the New Covenant, the Brit HaChadashah, which was promised in Jeremiah, wasn't even given yet. And what I like, very interestingly, is in Daniel, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And many just say to and fro is travel, and knowledge, science, math, which you can say. However, many shall run to and fro through the Hebrew scriptures, the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings, and knowledge of the end time events, the eschatological events, shall be increased. Thanks.
Yes, well, you're talking about Daniel chapter 12,
yeah.
Verses 1 and following, and you're exactly right. Now, the running to and fro, I think you have a little bit of a different understanding than I do on that. But we're finding today in society everyone is going to and fro, seeking answers, looking for direction, et cetera, and fail to find it because they're not looking in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inert Word of God.
Yeah.
Very good insight,
yeah.
Yes.
But to and fro could also mean the scrolls in the end time event scenario, which I think was the primary meaning. What you mentioned is a good application, But however, you know, I view it more in an eschatological end time event scenario. But thank you for your great program.
All of chapter 12 in Daniel is absolutely dealing. In fact, much of Daniel is dealing with eschatological truth for future tense. That's the reason we have the liberal academics today that want to demean the book of Daniel and give a late date on the book of Daniel rather than giving it the correct early date. Because they want to dilute and destroy the word.
Right. And even in the Hebrew canon, they don't have it under the prophets heading. They have it under the writings in the threefold division, believe it or not.
That's incorrect, as you and I both know.
Yeah. Yes. Well, God bless.
God bless you. Thank you for your comments and the insights. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing and talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today. We have a wonderful subject that we're talking about. It is the wonderful Word, the Word of God. Dr. Phelps, continue your thoughts on the God-given truth in the Old Testament.
The Old Testament is the source of truth, not only about the birth of Christ and the miraculous event according to Isaiah 7:14, but it tells us of the birthplace of Christ. And that was Bethlehem in Micah 5, chapter 5, verse 2. It tells us of the family of Christ. He's of the family of David, Isaiah chapter 11. The Old Testament is a source of truth about the character of the Messiah. He's the Holy One, Psalm 16:10. Of his ministry, Jesus was spirit-driven, according to Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Old Testament tells us about his rejection. And in Psalm 22, we're told that he is despised, not only in Psalm 22, but also in Isaiah chapter 53, where we learn of his crucifixion. He is the Lamb that God provided for our salvation.
Absolutely. In fact, all of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, ladies and gentlemen, gives us the fundamental foundation. It tells us 750 years before Jesus was born, who he would be, how he would be treated, how he would ultimately be crucified, and it also tells us, eschatologically, theologically, doctrinally speaking, the book of Isaiah, some 750 years before Jesus comes, tells us about the fact that he would be virgin-born, and I use the term he's virgin-born and very God. He takes upon himself, according to the New Testament, Philippians 2, 5 through 11, he took upon himself the form, the outward shell. It's the Greek word morphe, M-O-R-P-H-E, pronounced morphe. It is the outward shell, the form. We get our word mannequin. Just because he took upon himself the outward form of man was not a diminishing of his deity, but it was an addition to his deity. And all of the Old Testament tells us that Jesus Christ would come and who he would be called. In fact, you study all of the names that we have for Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, etc., all comes from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Dr. Phelps, continue our study in these last few minutes about the wonderful book called the Bible.
We believe that the Bible has one great theme, and I would say that the first part of our Bible, the Jewish Scriptures, is the preparation for the Messiah. The last part of our Bible, the New Testament Scriptures, is the presentation of the Messiah, or the revelation. So the key to the understanding of the whole Bible is Jesus Christ. The truth about Christ is found in all the Scriptures. All of the Old Testament Scriptures testify of Christ. God gives wonderful testimony of his Son throughout all of the Scriptures. These truths of the Scripture are vital in the biblical formula for faith. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the gospel of Christ. And I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, some wonderful words by the Apostle Paul. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures."
Dr. Phelps, a very serious question that must be asked based on you reading that text. Was he reading a King James New Testament?
No, he was reading. He was talking about the Old Testament scriptures.
He was going from the Old Testament scrolls, and that's what they had when they were preaching and teaching. That's what Jesus taught from. That's what the disciples preached and taught from. And we find that going back to, in fact, the fundamental foundation of what we would call the Word of God, the in the Scripture. It's some wonderful study. Dr. Phelps, tell us a few minutes in these last few seconds of our broadcast today about some of the wonderful things we find in Psalms 119 that deals with the Word of God.
Psalm 119, 111, the psalmist wrote, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Psalms serve as the hymn book for the Jewish people of faith and for Christians for many centuries. The Psalms are songs of devotion that provide the very words of worship. Praise and thanksgiving are great themes of the Psalms. Therefore, the Psalms teach us how to worship God in spirit and in truth. Praise is an expression of a believing heart. The New Testament book of Ephesians mentions the Psalms in connection with our Christian conduct. In Ephesians 5:19 and 20, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things of God, unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Psalms are important in our worship. But also the Psalms serve as the textbook that God uses to teach us of himself and his ways. In Psalm 25, David wrote, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day."
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to a broadcast on Let's Face the Issues as we've been talking about the wonderful Word of God, the Scripture, the Word of God, Old and New Testament, the totality of what God says to us. I pray that today's broadcast has been a blessing for you. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.